This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We are live at Fish Fest in McKinley Heights, Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. And another thanks to Dave Lekic. Dave joined us before the top of the hour, before Frank Cusimano. He's the guy that puts all this on. And the room is a little different than it was a couple hours ago. We started at 3 with the round table, and it is a full house in here right now. It's really easy to get to, by the way. It's easy, right, Jane? You get to 44, you get off at Jefferson, you take a right, you take a quick left, boom, you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that easy. And the menu is incredible. Hey, we have a politician in the house, a Reardon Roundtable veteran, and someone who just won in their race for St. Louis Comptroller, Donna Behringer. How are you?
Hello, Mark. I am very happy. It's fish fry season.
By the way, are you allowed to say to him, I told you so?
Yeah, you better.
Yes, she is.
Look,
yes,
I admitted.
Me too. That good for you. You restore my faith, girl.
Yes. Last week on the Roundtable, you were very confident. You came in real hot with confidence. I'm like, yeah, can she really? Not that I didn't think you were going to do well, but look, you got a long-term incumbent that you're challenging. Yeah. And when we talked about this a couple of nights ago, what I said to Donna was I maybe in the end wasn't so surprised because I remember her sharing all these stories about knocking on doors and what people were saying.
And no one's going to outwork
that. Sort of reflected itself in the results, didn't it?
Congratulations.
It did. And I told people, I started in September. I ghosted social media, and I spent my entire fall and all the holidays going through the entire city of St. Louis.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. How do you even start to do that? Like, what was the strategy? What was the plan? Not that you want to give all your trade secrets
away,
but how do you
still
do that?
Well, first of all, you have to know how to find block parties.
That's a good start, right?
And National Night Out. And then you start with the Halloween block parties. And then you go from the Halloween and you head into the neighborhood meetings. So I actually asked every neighborhood association and business association across the entire city of St. Louis if I could come speak at their meetings. So I started that as well back in October. So
good for you.
I told people, I said, if you haven't seen me, then you haven't come out of your house because I've done nothing. Oh, and the one last thing I tell people, I feel very bad because when I was doing door knocking during that snowstorm, I could only do the south side of the street because the north side was solid ice. So I asked the people on the south side to tell the people on the north side I was here.
Yes. During the snowstorm.
During the snowstorm. And they're like,
and you should get credit for that.
Right. And they said, what are you doing? It's only 18 degrees out. And I said, I'm door knocking. And they said, why would you do that now? And I said, because everyone is at home.
That's a brilliant time to do it.
But this is just good old-fashioned retail politics.
That's right. Yep. Shoe leather. It's very, very inspiring.
You know, when I was in, many years ago, this goes back more than 30 years, I was in Columbia, Missouri, starting to cover politics. And they have in Boone County, they have the Boone County Commission. And there were only at the time, and I don't even know how many are there now, three commissioners. But there was a longtime incumbent. His name was Dave Griggs. Dave was a friend of mine. And everybody thought going into this particular election, Dave was going to win re-election. And there was a hairstylist. And I think I was even dumb enough to make fun of her. Oh, this hairstylist is running. Well, she worked her ass off. And she outworked him. And he kind of took it for granted. and she knocked on doors like you did, and she won that race. So I'll never forget that, because that was an early lesson for me in hard work and how it results and manifests itself at the polls.
Yeah, good people remember you when you knock on their door and it's 18 degrees out and the other side of the street is iced in.
Right, and I just feel like, I don't know, and you're probably feeling it as well, that I think there is, people want change in the city.
Yes.
And they are really looking forward to some new blood.
Yep.
And
that was the mantra on the doors. It's time for change.
Yep.
Let's shake it up.
Good for you.
Explain why this position, because this sometimes gets lost, I think, in the discussion, but why the comptroller position is so important in the city of St. Louis.
It is part of what I call the trilogy, which is the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, which is the mayor, the comptroller, and the president of the Board of Aldermen. All decisions start there. So when you're talking about the RAMS money, when you're talking about the ARPA funds.
All budget
goes through the trilogy. And so it's a very powerful position. And then add the fact that the comptroller is in charge of all the finances for the city of St. Louis.
Can the comptroller actually, and I'm talking about real life situation here, with a progressive board that we have, how much influence can you have?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, I think I do have a lot. And that has more to do with the fact that I've always looked at how do we move forward with our city? Because I was the person that helped cut the Board of Aldermen in half. When we
passed
passed the transportation on the last election, I said, let's take the train and bus depot downtown and put it under transportation. It's currently under the comptroller's office. So they know that I am willing and ready to move forward with changes actually for the government of the city of St. Louis.
So what happens now in the next 4 weeks? Obviously, more knocking on doors. And is
and
there
fish
a different
fries.
Strategy?
And fish fries.
Fish
you can
fries
hit a lot
good.
Of people in
yep.
fish fries.
Yes. Yeah. Fish fries. I'll be at 3 fish fries every Friday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So did you know we were here today, or was this by happenstance?
Oh, no. I heard you were going to be here.
She knows. She follows.
We invited Kara to come by. We weren't sure if she was going to be able to make it. But how would you kind of describe that scenario right now? Obviously, there was some common bond there because the people who wanted change also voted for Kara Spencer or maybe Michael Butler. Tashara finishing second, so she does make it to the runoff. But how would you assess that race right now?
Oh, I feel Kara's in. The difference between Kara's race and my race, which I tell people is that they knew exactly what the mayor does, so they knew they wanted that
change. No, that's right.
But when they looked at the comptroller's race, we lost some people. They didn't actually vote in the comptroller's race because they didn't know exactly what the comptroller does. So my job is to make sure people know what the comptroller does and that it has a very important role to play, and they are impacted directly by that.
Donna, you look at these numbers, and Jane, I'm sure you do a lot more than I do, but they did feature some of this in the local paper today about the race with Kara in particular, and I think they threw some of your numbers, but the South St. Louis numbers were really dramatically different than 4 years ago, weren't they?
Yes, and what I tell people, I served on elections at the state level, and I worked really hard to get the early voting in place, and I said, I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to go vote. I don't want anyone who works weekends or can't come on that Tuesday. That has made a huge difference. Booter Library in my area, because I have communicated that to my voters, you can vote early, and they love it. And I need more of the city voters to know that. There are 6 libraries you can vote at 2 weeks prior to the election. And sometimes you'll walk in, and there's nobody to bother you when you're going to vote.
Yeah, I go to Booter.
Was there any kind of compare and contrast with how many people voted early compared to on election day, or do you not know that?
It was twice as much, but it was a much higher percentage than the past.
The numbers are growing.
Yeah, they're growing.
They are growing. It's amazing that some people didn't know about it.
Right.
And then here's another little strange twist to this. There are people that will go vote in faraway places, so no one knows they've gone to vote, so no one checked to see if they voted.
What do you mean by that?
Wait,
you lost me.
In the old days, we actually had challengers inside of the polls on election day.
Oh, right.
And they would track who's come in to vote. And if you hadn't come in to vote, you might get a phone call.
Oh.
Can't do any of that tracking anymore.
Right, because you can go anywhere.
You can go anywhere and vote, and a lot of people like that.
Look, I like it. I mean, I'm all for...
Well, you can just drive somewhere. You don't have to, like, plan, you know.
Yes.
You can just say, okay, here's one of the spots. I'm close by
right.
now. I'm going to go.
Or in my case, when I was standing outside the library for early voting, when I saw the mothers with the young children come in, I'd say, you know, if you have your driver's license on, you can go downstairs, no line, and you can vote. And they look at me and go, I can? And I'd be like, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you have on there.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Is the mayor and the comptroller? It'll take you 2 seconds. Yeah. And they'd go vote.
It's quick.
Is there going to ever be, you know, the one thing that I would like to see change is the elections take place in August and November and not in the spring, because these numbers still are just abysmal, aren't they, when it comes to turnout?
It is. But the only concern I would have was that every 4 years, because we almost had a 3-page ballot this last time, that people wouldn't go all the way to the bottom to make sure, because the municipal would be last.
Well, right. Okay, I understand that. I do, because the ballot Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, but Jane, what do you do then?
Because I'm not thrilled about the turnout. 17.8%, that's not good.
And, you think it grows between now and...
I think it'll be a little higher because it was last time, but I don't think it's going to be the 29% last time that they had last time. Right. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
It'll be higher, but I don't think it's going to be much higher.
Right.
And then if you would win that, when would you become comptroller? How does that work? The mayor, too.
The swearing in is April 22nd.
Yep.
Okay, so a couple weeks after that.
Because they have to certify the election. That takes some time. And then, you guys do it right away. There's not much of a transition.
Yeah, it was kind of strange because I was like, Easter's late. It's April 18th.
Right.
And then that's the 22nd. So, be here before you know it.
Well, yeah, you're going to have your hands full.
I don't think these city voters like me very much. Should I endorse Darlene? Would that help you? I just want to help, Donna.
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations. It was impressive. And I think a lot of it, we talked
inspiring.
About you on the roundtable, so thanks for coming by.
Oh, no
Enjoy
problem.
The rest of the campaign. I'm sure we'll talk on the air before the 8th, but that's going to come up quickly. Congratulations.
Thank you. Lots of fish.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's a good little political
exciting?
Story for St.
Nice.
Louis, and change is a coming.
Change is
just
a coming.
Around the corner. Hey, Alex Rich.
How are we doing?
How are you?
Alex.
Oh, you know. Hey, I gotta say, just straight off, so there's no confusion. The only reason I did agree to come to the today
is because of Jane.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank
I mean,
it's
without a question about it.
He's my fan.
You have the finance here today.
How about it?
How about that?
She
Alex is getting married
is
in a couple
just
months.
Beautiful and wonderful.
No, I would agree.
Yeah, you better agree.
Well, we know she can't really kind of hear us right now because she's over there.
Right, she's
but
talking
we were
to
talking
the
about this
people.
The other day on the air. Jane will like this. She really doesn't want me to perform at the wedding, but I'm paying for the band. They're coming out.
Yeah.
We decided that I'm performing She's a Rich Girl because
she's going to be a rich girl.
Wow.
Right?
She
Alex
is.
Rich
I mean,
girl.
That's
yeah.
like... That you own the song now. I mean, it's
basically
for her.
Yeah, that's no question.
Let me tell you a little quick story that just fits because you brought up the wedding and you got your guitar. And we may hear some music.
There's and we are, by the way, Jane, hoping Mark does our. I did my part and invited him. I'm just hoping he RSVPs. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
Good,
because you want other people to
chance.
Come, yeah. right? You yeah. want other people to come.
Well, he's gonna tap you in.
Yeah. then everybody at the wedding won't leave. That's good.
Okay,
I like to help.
Listen to this. Do you think that at your wedding, because you're going to have a DJ or a band? I can't
band.
Remember. Okay.
Band.
Well, this is a little different with a band, but this story is about Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon is doing some interviews because he's got a new series on Prime that's called The Bondsman, which is coming out here in just a couple of weeks. And when he was doing some interviews at South by Southwest, he talked about the song Footloose and being at weddings. And he says basically that my worst nightmare is to be at a wedding and the DJ puts on the music. They always start up being about the bride and then there's alcohol involved. And by about 10:30, the song comes on and suddenly the wedding becomes about me getting out and dancing. People will literally form a circle around me and clap their hands like I'm a trained monkey.
Oh, my God.
Now he says he goes proactively. He goes to the DJs. He goes, please do not play those songs.
Good. Here's $100.
Yeah,
Don't play Footloose.
Now, he also adds, he goes, it's not because I don't love the song. I love the song. It's not because I'm not proud of the movie. I'm 100% proud of it.
I just don't want to dance.
Right, exactly. And I will say this, just because we're talking about Kevin Bacon, people ask this all the time, like, what was the best interview that you ever did or the worst interview? And the worst interview that I've ever done live was with Kevin Bacon live on Channel 4 about 15 years ago, and I'll put a lot of it on me.
How did you screw it up?
Well, it was a satellite interview for one of the X-Men movies, and he was not in a good mood, and I'm pretty sure I asked a stupid question, okay?
Okay, yeah, that's
and he did not react well. He didn't react well, and then it was just, Jane, these are, like, it's one thing doing an interview, but live television when it's, you know, probably 6 in the morning or 7
grief.
In the morning out west when he's doing these. He probably didn't want to do it. And then some idiot from the Midwest asked him a stupid question, and it just didn't go well. I'm so glad I don't have the tape of this because it was one of those moments I'm not proud
do
of.
Do you think somebody does?
No, I don't think so.
I met him. He was nice. The end.
Kevin Bacon seems like
he does seem really nice.
If, doesn't he?
If I
him
ever,
and his wife, they do those cute videos. I love Curious
If Sedgwick. I ever interviewed him again, I would tell him that I would say that it wasn't his fault. I'm just going to tell you. Because when these things happen, you'd be surprised. I self-examine, and sometimes I obsess over that. And that's one where if I had to go back, I would have handled it differently. And it just happens sometimes. But he always sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, well, it was early out there.
I feel like also, though, Kevin Bacon, like you should have just reverted back to talking about Footloose.
Can't lose.
Well, but he was promoting a different movie. That's the thing, you know.
You could ask him about his wife, who he adores, and she's adorable.
Yeah. That's true.
That's easy.
Yeah.
We'll prep you next time.
I had another story here for you guys, too.
You've grown quite a bit since then, Mark.
Hang on, Alex, because I know
you got physically or emotionally?
I'm not sure either is true.
I would say maybe physically. Emotionally, he's still a child.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We are so ganging up on him.
It's rare that we get to get on air together,
usually,
Jane.
I know, right?
Do we have any other bones to pick with
I don't
Mark
know,
while
but,
here?
I mean, we're definitely demoralizing him, which is fine.
No, I have a question for you here, though. All right,
I'm usually the victim.
We are sitting in this beautiful room here. They hold a lot of weddings here, actually, in this room.
Uh-huh. It's lovely.
And there's a long line that is wrapping around where we are at our table, and this is what happens at these fish fries. So, There's a question for you. If you have to go to wait in line, like maybe for a nice restaurant or something, it's a long wait. Or maybe if it's something like this,
Sure. Would
you ever hire someone to stand in line for you? Because this is a thing, and it's happening more and more often.
Okay, well,
no.
I did do that.
I'm too cheap.
I did that in Rome, and we actually had a guide, and part of the package that we paid for was that he waited in line to get our ticket.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, well, now that's something else.
Yeah, it was. And we were at a pizza parlor across from the Vatican, and he was in line, and it was
So did he flag you down when it was your time to go up?
Yeah, like, but come on up.
Was that part of the deal? In other words, you didn't hunt him down and say, hey, will you pay for $50 or you stand? Or was
they
it
part
it.
Of the package?
They offer it as part of the package. Yeah, but you got to pay.
Okay, so this was written by Jordan Lippy McGraw in the Wall Street Journal, and very personalized. She said, it was a sub-freezing night. I wanted a romantic dinner with my husband. When we arrived at Emilio's Ballato, a buzzy, no-reservations Italian joint in Manhattan, the wait for the table was as daunting as a Taylor Swift ticket queue. Shivering on a sidewalk for hours seemed poor start to date night, so I hired someone to do the time for us. We went in search of appetites somewhere else. So apparently booking people to stand in line at hotspots nationwide is a go-to trick. No rush for tickets to a Broadway show. Someone will line up for you. Trying to snag an entry for a shop for limited edition sneakers. That sounds like something you'd do, Alex. There's someone for that, too. Reserving
like
a line standard can be remarkably simple. There are websites and apps out there. TaskRabbit is one of them. Same old lines dudes. Skip the line in Washington, D.C. It lets you hire someone online for a set fee once the booking's done.
Huh.
You communicate with them directly. Look,
like
this
it.
Is something I would probably do if the circumstance were
appropriate. Absolutely.
I like this. And, you know, we'll just
And
call
I'm a great tipper.
Yeah, we'll call it how it is. Mark, obviously, I'm quite a bit younger than you, obviously.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. But I am already to the age where, I lines just are not for me, honestly. They're not. They're not.
You think they're for many people?
Thank you, Jim.
I do think there's
the
people. I think there's people that could tolerate it more than others.
Right.
I think you're similar to me, Mark.
Fred's a patient guy.
So I'm not patient. You know that.
Yeah.
But here's the criticism of all this, is that some people are, you know, kind of pulling the class warfare card. This is a travel hack that is a symptom, rather, of economic inequality.
Stop it.
Oh, I don't even
if
like
If you're
to...
going to some neat guy restaurant, there's not that much inequality.
I mean, someone's got to stand in line. Who cares? It's not like you're jumping the line, right?
No, but that would be worse.
I think it's going to be a growing service.
How much would you pay? Okay, so TaskRabbit typically charges an average of $27 an hour. I mean, if I got to wait
probably
in line for 2 hours,
right. I
might
pretty
pay
fair.
Some, right.
That seems worth it for sure.
Absolutely.
Same old line dudes has structured pricing, $50 minimum for up to 2 hours, $25 each for each additional hour. So they're kind of pricey.
I would do it.
Oh, extra for extreme weather or overnight waits. You know, the thing is that I tell this story every once in a while. Alex, you'd probably think we're crazy. But back when Jane and Sue and I and Fred were kids, teenagers, let's say early 80s, if a concert gets announced and you want to get concert tickets, you might have to go to famous bar.
Right.
Didn't they have tickets at some of those places? You would go to Record Bar or Streetside Records.
Stand in line.
My parents, and if they're listening right now, this was one of the dumbest things they allowed
me to
do.
They let you do it, right?
I went and was overnight in line for Journey tickets at a record store, and I think I even got beat up
Peaches?
That night or something Peaches, like that.
Probably.
Yeah, it was terrible. I shouldn't have done it.
You know, the most notable line I ever waited in college, I mean, like at Indiana, the basketball team was, we were number one in the country when I was there. So you had to get there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the night before, if you wanted to get
that
in.
That happens at Alabama. They have a tent area for the students.
Yeah, so you get there, I mean, and you take turns with your buddies waiting in line. But
that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, but certainly, I guess, thinking back, like, you know, if this service was offered now where I could pay... You know, Joe Schmo to go wait in line for me for 50 an hour, maybe I'd do it.
It does become something as you get a little more mature and older. You're like, you know what? I've stood in those lines.
Now, there are a lot of jobs that I would do for some money. waiting in line is not a job that I would personally sign up for to do for money.
It wouldn't kill me. I mean, if I needed the money, I'd do it.
It's same. Fred and I can stand out there and eat a sandwich for you people.
Well, you know what? You just bring your lawn chair and you know.
Someone should pay somebody in this line because it's a long one right now. We're going to take a break. Alex, hang on. You're going to play a little music for us?
I got a song prepped for us.
All right, hang on. Yep. Can you hang tight? We're going to take a break here. We got George from Throttle Line coming up as well, plus an audio cut of the day. Come see us. The line is building out here at the Serbian Orthodox Church. It's Fish Fest on a Friday with the Mark Reardon Show.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Wayne Chunging here at the Serbian Orthodox Church, and we're doing the fish fry. Alex Rich is here. We're going to visit with our friend George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet in just a bit. But Alex brought his guitar.
I did.
Are you performing somewhere tonight?
I am. I'm doing somebody's 50th birthday party. It's a private party tonight.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a country theme. I don't play really any country.
Well, then how are you going to pull that off?
Thank goodness they hired you.
You just got to fake it till you make it.
You know? Oh, boy. But you got the fancy guitar strap.
How do you have a radio show? You faked it this
for
whole time.
45 years.
Exactly.
So do you have, is that like a million-dollar private gig? Is that what you're doing tonight?
My guess is probably.
A little lower than that, maybe? So.
Is that what you're thinking you're going to make?
I didn't charge quite that amount, but close to. Yeah.
Okay, so it's better than waiting in line.
I charge less if there's free drinks and,
food
involved. I do.
Yeah.
I take that into consideration.
It's an in-kind sort of donation. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Exactly.
Do you have a special tune for us this afternoon?
I do.
What are you going to do?
This is a Fishing in the Dark, right?
I love
great
it.
Song.
Yes.
This is the fish fry version.
Oh, nice.
Fishing
now,
in the Dark.
Are you doing this one tonight at the party?
Is
this
it's
a little
country-ish.
Yeah, I know it is country.
It is country. Yeah. Maybe I'll pull it out and just say, it's actually it's a group of Jewish people. My fellow tribes people.
Yeah, yes.
That's okay.
So, they might get a kick out of the fish fry for Lent song.
Yes.
So it wouldn't hurt.
I think it would work.
It wouldn't
really
hurt. You want me to play it for you?
Yes, I do. I'd like to hear it.
Friday's coming up, so be careful that night if you can't have meat. Here we go. He will be rising by the end of this, and then we all can eat. Baby, get ready. I know this place where they got good deals. It's the place to go. I'm gonna take you to the special place that most people know. Baby, get ready. You and me eating fish up in the park. Oh, yeah. Add some hot sauce if you want a little spark. Let's go. Go to the fish fry Friday night. During Lent, they'll be keeping you right. To the church we'll go. Love the fish fries there. So cool, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Woo!
It's at the fish fry, there's fish for you.
A little spin on the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
I love that, Alex.
I like that.
That will be a hit tonight.
That single's going to be released, next Friday.
Okay,
next Friday. At the next Fish Fry.
That'll be available on all platforms, the next Fish Fry, yes.
I think it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Adam Sandler can just get out of the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, by the way, did you see, that's coming out here, the sequel in...
Oh, yeah, Happy Gilmore. Soon.
Happy Gilmore 3,
they just released the announcement.
Kind of a dream.
I saw the trailer for it.
It's a dream of mine. You think it'll be good?
I do.
I do, too.
I think the country is ready for a stupid Adam Sandler movie. We kind of need that, don't you think?
Well, there's been a lot of corny Adam Sandler movies.
No, but where we need,
we need original. We just need silly. OG Adam Sandler.
Absolutely.
And I think there's too many famous people involved. You're, I mean, you're a golf guy, Mark. They have all these PGA guys in this movie. Like Scotty.
That's what makes that fun.
Like, all these guys are going to be in it. There's no way that it's not going
to
be good.
You know, it's funny. If you go back to the original, there's a guy named Mark Lai who used to be PGA professional, and I heard him on PGA Tour Radio. There's a guy named Brian Ketrick and McGinnis, these two guys. I know Brian a little bit because I became a fan of his show, and I was listening to him one time, and this Mark Lai guy was on. They were talking about the movie, and he was like a consultant, and there were stories, like the one story that jumps out, and he told me this one on the air. I guess I don't think that this made the cut of the movie, but you couldn't do this again, right? Sandler thought he was being funny, and he hired some strippers for the set. And it was a pretty. But can you even imagine that happening in modern era?
No. People would flip out.
Right. There'd be all kinds of
Which is a shame, because, you know, it'd be
Because it might add a little
spice. You're a fan of strippers, right?
Jane?
As long as they're male? What do you mean?
She's not a fan.
You know, I told you this, and this is a true story. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about this at the fish fry.
We're at
but
a church.
When I worked at that bar in Columbia, Missouri, Totes, all right? You might remember.
I remember Penny Champagne.
Right. On Thursday evenings, Thursdays were a big night, but between 7 and 8 before we opened up the bar, they did male strip shows, and I emceed the things.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you something, guys. If you've never seen women packed into a room with a Chippendale, they act like I've never seen anything like it since.
How do you MC a strip show?
Well, I had introduced
some other men.
I don't know. I was given a script. I was told what to do.
Which is pretty awesome.
It's fitting for Mark.
Yes,
now,
exactly.
I will admit that I have. There was a male strip club across the river.
Okay.
Boxers and Briefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had.
That was the name of it?
That was the name of it.
Okay.
Original.
It was very strange.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
It's probably a good thing you don't remember.
Well, I remember another one over there, but it wasn't Boxers and Briefs.
Right,
let me tell you that.
It was near those. But the whole male stripper with tube socks, they all had tube socks on. So they could spin on the poles.
Right.
Is that why?
We'll just use our imagination there.
I wear tube socks for a different reason.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I deserve that.
Alex, have a good night. Thank you for coming out. Your time is done.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the gig tonight.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Alex.
Hey, look who's here. Our friend George Rosenthal from Thrawlit. Now, was this a fish fry that you go to on a regular basis anyway?
Actually, we were coming here tonight
this
no matter what.
That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. We were absolutely
this
coming here tonight
so
no matter what.
Well, how are you, dude? It's good to see you.
Great. Good to see you guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, it's fun to get some fish and be on the radio with the Reardon team.
This really is a cool room. And, you know, it's funny because we have the perspective of being here a few hours ago and nobody was here. And they opened the bar. But, I mean, once... o'clock hit.
Hopping. And I got to tell you, the food smells unbelievable.
Oh, it's incredible.
As soon as we're done here, I'm going to get some. But
the
man,
poor
it smells
boy,
unbelievably good.
I give it a 10 out of 10. The poor boy
was. Is that
was,
the shrimp? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah. Let's talk about some stuff related to your world.
Sure.
Look, I had a couple of situations recently, George, you know, where a credit card purchase was made a couple weeks ago and it wasn't mine, so I had to cancel the Southwest card. And then a couple of days ago, I'm told that there was a sign-in to my Facebook account from San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't me, so I changed the password on that.
Yeah.
But there's always stuff that's going on. Some
oh,
of these
unreal.
Things have gotten even more sophisticated,
well,
right?
The one that is happening now is so unbelievable. So AI has finally taken hold of malware and bad things.
Oh, no.
Yes, and this is so bad. This is almost spooky. It's like Terminator kind of stuff if you think about what it's doing here. So Google Chrome. Everybody uses Google Chrome
for
your web browser.
Right.
And you'll have extensions like Honey is one where they'll find coupons for you while you're doing shopping.
Right. Absolutely.
Capital Card has a Chrome extension.
Right.
And then there's some like, you know, for passwords, you can have a LastPass and stores all your passwords and so forth. Well,
scary.
if you click on an email and you get in or a text message and you get infected with a malware, this new malware is an AI-driven system that gets into your browser the second you click on it in an email or a text message. It then looks at your extensions and mimics one of them. It puts the extension on hold in the background, changes its icon, changes all of the coding about what it does automatically,
George.
And becomes that app. So let's say you have a password app like LastPass or something.
Right.
It will get on your system, turn into LastPass, look just like it in the browser, And then when you use it, it will start to log you out, and they're stealing. Now, this is where it gets so creepy.
Ugh.
Not only are they stealing and keylogging everything that you're typing, but here's the thing. They'll log you out of certain sessions. Like, let's say you're in your bank. You're in the middle of looking at your bank statement. They'll log you out of your bank account to make you log back in so they can record your password.
Oh.
Wow. So
think you were just bounced off because of like connectivity or something.
Correct. And you've been bounced off on purpose so that this app can
write
your stuff.
How do you know if you have it?
So if that starts happening, if you start getting bounced out all the time of things you're already logged into.
But by then they've already cleared my bank account, right?
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully. So here the scary thing that it really does is when it's done collecting your data, it will then go back into hiding and release the real plug-in back on.
And you don't really know they were there?
Correct.
Oh, so you can't really track them down.
It's literally morphing itself. Yes.
You shared an article. Let me just see if you can explain this a little bit more, because I have the article on this, and this is pretty frightening. So explain when they say to get a list of other installed extension, the malicious extension abuses the Chrome Management API, which it was given during the installation. If, this is the part that fascinates me, if the malicious extension doesn't have this permission, SquareX says there's a second, stealthier way to achieve the same, involving resource injection onto web pages the victims visit. So is that sort of what you just described?
Yes.
Okay.
George, is it only on Chrome?
Yes. Right now it's on Chrome. So Google is working feverishly to put monitoring in place to make sure that if any of their extensions are altered in any way, that they have some defense against
it. Is it better to just not have them?
I mean, until they fix it,
I use Safari.
But what about a guy? Look, I use Safari for everything except. Here's what's funny. You know when I have to use Chrome for our Odyssey stuff because I can't get the stuff to work with our HR.
Yeah.
So I'm only on Chrome for that. And sometimes, for whatever reason, ESPN works a little better on Chrome, and I'm not sure why.
It does.
But for the most part, I'm on Safari. Now, Apple kind of markets Safari, and they push it as the safe browser. Is that true?
Right now, it's safer than Chrome.
Wow.
I can tell you that because there's nothing like this going on with anything else but
that's
Chrome.
Terrifying.
Should we go back to Netscape maybe?
Yes, go back to Netscape.
I'm going
to
pull up Explorer.
Absolutely. I mean, I would, if you see things starting to log out and kick you out, make sure you just put all your extensions on hold for a little while.
Well, that is frightening, and there's all kinds of things that, you know, lurk out there. And this one seems even more scary because they're kind of putting things back together, and you're like, oh, that was just me logging out accidentally.
Yeah. There was something wrong with my internet.
So you may be suspicious, like, well, why do I keep getting kicked out of my bank account when I, you know.
And George, you said that's mainly if you click on something bad in a text or email, that's how it gets in?
Yes, it's a malware. It's a form of malware
now. So that helps to,
So
don't
don't open email, don't click on anything, don't open extensions, or if somebody sends you a PDF or a Word doc, make sure you call them and say, hey, was this real? It can be hidden inside of Excel spreadsheets as a macro, and then you've got malware on your system. And most malware, you know, it never does this. I mean, this is morphing into other applications, and then it's hiding itself and disappearing.
That's a very bad use of AI.
Oh, man, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
Evil.
The world that, you know, we're in, there's all this advantage to technology, but then there's the spooky stuff. And I read these stories, and you're probably familiar with a lot. When people get their identities stolen, there's no easy way to put things back together, right?
No, my gosh, it's brutal to do that. If they get into your bank account and start stealing everything in your life, it is absolutely torture to get
social,
that back.
They get your birth.
Oh, 100%.
This is why I have a Southwest card that I have. Every time it's used, I have an alert. If it's over 20 bucks, it's sent to me.
Yeah.
And what happened with the charge from a couple of weeks ago is I thought my wife, there was a charge from REI, and we shopped there. And I didn't say anything when the charge came in. And then 2 days later, I'm kind of clipping my wife over some spending. She's like, I didn't spend that.
Yeah.
So I still think, you know what, Sue, Jane, remember I went to Jeff City on that weekday? No, I went to Jeff City and I gave them my credit card at the hotel. And I think that's because they would have had to have the three number.
And
I think someone took a picture of it or whatever. And then they only used it. It was brilliant because they only used it for one purchase at REI. And I didn't notice it for 2 days, but that's probably all they did.
Think about
it. If you steal one credit card and you just do a couple of different purchases,
no one's going to find out.
And they're not going to fight that much about it.
Right.
No, exactly.
And if you
can use the tap, you know, the card tap.
Yeah.
If you can use that, use it. If you have to insert the card or swipe the card, always do a little tug with your hand on the device to make sure there's not a skimmer attached to it.
And you know what?
It's all over the place. You'll see that in gas stations.
Yeah,
you mean, yep.
In South City, I use cash.
How do you know if the skimmer is there?
Because it'll move, it'll wiggle. So wherever you insert your card, you want to lift that with your thumb a little bit. Just give it a little tug.
I got you.
If it starts to feel any give at all, that means there's some double-sided tape or some glue there that they have put a skimmer on.
I think gas stations right now, I do gas with cash now.
Absolutely. If you can do cash or the tap, if they allow tap. But be wary when you...
Because it's too easy to rig it up outside.
Absolutely.
Nobody sees you.
Nobody's using cash. What are you talking about?
I am.
Well, you're the only one.
Well, I don't want my cards
get... Men, besides you, use cash.
I don't use cash at all.
Well, that's where the skimmers are.
I only use cash for the east side and for tips at the car wash. That's it.
George, I have decided, I've started doing a dedicated credit card at home that only pays bills, so it never sees the internet. It's just auto pay. And I have found that has not been stolen.
Is that a thing? It's great, yes.
Okay.
And don't take
it
with you.
It's sequestered.
Okay,
right.
I never take it anywhere.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, I could show you an example. I should have brought one, but you can get a Flipper Zero on Amazon for a couple $100, and I can walk right by you and scan every one of the chips in your pocket.
Unless you have one.
Imagine standing right here at this fish line right now, and if I have a Flipper Zero, I can literally just hold it next to your pocket and copy every card that's in your wallet.
You're scaring the heck out of me.
Well, don't you have to have an RFID?
That's what this Flipper Zero does. It's something else.
Does it go through that? Like, if you get the protection?
Oh, yeah. No, now, if you have a protective wallet or a protective device in your purse, then you're fine.
Let me ask this, because, you know, the one big hassle that I went through, and I think I have to do this with my debit card right now, too, because my debit card cracked, so I'm sure I have to get a new one.
Yeah.
But on my Southwest card, it's like, okay, how many things, you know, Sue, you're doing it right. You have the one card, and everything's going through that. So I have certain things that get automatically, you know, withdrawn. So when I was talking to Chase about this, the customer service rep said there's now technology where they kind of pick it up automatically. Some of the retailers know when you're changing the card. Do you know anything about that?
So, well, I know the law had changed. If you do change your card and you are on a subscription, they will move that over to the new card.
That's, I think, what he was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, Amazon did when we switched our card.
Yeah,
but it still has the old card number, but it charges my new card.
They knew it automatically.
So that's a new law that changed, because what people were doing is to get out of, like, you would, let's say you subscribe to 10 different things and finally you're like, I got to cut some costs. I'll just call the company and tell them my card's lost or stolen.
And then they can't,
And so what's happening is these credit card companies are doling out millions and millions of new cards just because people were canceling subscriptions.
I got you.
So there was a law that changed that now all your subscriptions have to be canceled by the company.
And it wasn't for our protection. It was for the bank's protection.
I have another question. Were you talking about a protective wallet? What was that thing?
RFID protected wallet.
Yes.
You can put your cards in it, and so nobody can skim you.
Wow.
While you're standing there.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
So
win a wallet.
Yep.
It's making my brain hurt.
I've got it, though. I'll share it back to you.
Yeah. When they tout RFID, it's kind of worth it.
Yeah.
I'm going in.
George, always great to see you. And you have the kids out here, too.
Yeah, we got Nora here. We got George the Sixth over here.
Aww.
That's a lot to live up to. When he introduced me to George the Sixth, there's some pressure there, right?
Yeah, but you know, he's over there saving some spots and playing some video games like he normally does.
I was going to say, he's happy. He's got
absolutely.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks, George.
We're going to come back. One more segment on 97.1 FM Talk. Audio cut of the day is coming up. Oh, yeah, we are wrapping up our first Fish Fry Friday, and this has been crazy at Fish Fest. And this room is packed right now at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church, McKinley Heights. Next week, by the way, we're in Cottleville at the Knights of Columbus Hall. We've been there before. It's a great, great location.
Huge.
Assumption Parish in South County on the 21st, Queen of All Saints on the 28th, St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood on the 4th, and we close things out in Millsot, Illinois at Ott's Tavern. It's been remarkable. In the last 2 weeks, I've discovered how to pronounce Millsot, thanks to Sue, because I was saying Millstat. But I think I've solved that problem.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
I mentally forget, and then I go back to the old way. Let's do audio cut of the day here, Ethan.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we talked about this during the Reardon Roundtable. Let's do the Q&A here, asking Democrats, why were they so disrespectful during President Trump's address the other night? Here's some answers for you.
Senator, how's it going? Johnny from Fox. What could Donald Trump do that make you clap?
Thank you very much.
What could Donald Trump do that'll make you clap?
I did clap when he said that the United States had supported Ukraine and given them lots of
assets. Why not for Lincoln Riley's mom? How was that speech last night? Did you love it?
Well, I watched it. I don't think that was the best look for
for our party last night.
Very disappointing.
So you didn't stand up for anything?
The president got before the American people, didn't talk about how he could drive down grocery prices.
Senator, why weren't you standing yesterday for anything?
Very important hearing right now on anti-Semitism.
But you didn't stand for anything at the speech last night.
I don't know what you're talking about, where you got that information.
Well, there was nothing the president had to say.
Lincoln Riley's mom,
either
you didn't stand for her.
Factual or truthful or anything.
We applauded.
You don't think it's worthy to stand up for her like everyone else?
We should applaud.
I need you to move.
Congressman, why didn't you stand for the speech?
Have a good day. I need to go to a meeting.
80% of the American people, according to CBS, loved the speech.
Again, I don't think we're the United States.
Are the Democrats out of touch?
The United States of America. Forgive me for going here. Forgive me for being out of breath.
I don't know what speech they were watching.
They were watching the president's speech, Senator.
Really? Wasn't worth watching.
Why was Al Green so disrespectful?
You gotta ask Al Green.
So I just pulled up to Congressman Al Green's office, went inside, see if he wanted to talk, because he did a lot of talking at the joint address, but they shooed me away. They said, we're not talking to Johnny.
Well, that was kind of fun. But then, you know, this kind of wraps things up. And I'm going to predict very confidently that this next soundbite will appear in a Mark Reardon show open near you very soon. Here we go, Senator Kennedy.
Most of the publicity has been on the spending cuts. And look, I'm all for them. I think Elon Musk is a rock star. The tofu crowd is mad. But, you know, when you trim fat, pigs squeal. That's just the way the world works. That's the law of nature.
That is, Jane, when
that
you trim fat, he's
the
so good.
Squeal.
He's such a wordsmith.
He does. He turns a phrase.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for coming out, Jane Duker. We'll see you next Friday. Sue's got one more traffic. We'll be back in the studio on Monday. Fred, the Hall of Famer, has a new rain jacket that he'll take into the weekend. We will see you on Monday back in the studio. Another Fish Fry Friday a week from now. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.